So we're going to finish up our series, our September series. We've been looking at our church mission statement. And I hope you got a bulletin. If you did not, get a bulletin when you leave, because in there is a copy of our mission statement and our vision and how we say that we're going to go about accomplishing that. And I want you to read through that, and I want you to have it so that you can be familiar with that. Because, church, as I've said, that's who we say we are. This church developed that statement. We as a body voted on that. I wasn't here, but I'm part of the body. And so this is who we say we are. This is what we say we're going to do. And so today we're going to finish up by looking at serve. We're going to serve one another. That's difficult. Man, that's difficult. But we're going to look at what that means and how that plays out in Scripture. The late Reverend Herschel Hobbs told the story once. He said, many years ago, we had a stewardship banquet at our church in Oklahoma City. And I said to the guest speaker, in this dining room tonight is perhaps the wealthiest woman at that time in all of Oklahoma. And he challenged the speaker. He said, can you pick her out of this crowd? Well, when the gentleman failed, Hobbs pointed out the little lady who was moving from table to table pouring coffee. He said, that is her. She was demonstrating true agape service, agape love. True greatness in God's kingdom is demonstrated through serving others just as Jesus served. You know, like many people today, the disciples were making the mistake of following the wrong examples. It seemed that Jesus was showing them and teaching them and talking to them, and he was doing it. It was audio video. You could hear it and see it, and yet they were not picking it up. And so we have here this instance where they're not modeling themselves after Jesus. They were admiring the authority and glory of the Roman Empire. They were thinking about the men who loved a position and authority. And while there's nothing wrong with aspiring to greatness, we must be careful about how we define greatness and why we want to achieve it. What's your motive? Recalling what Sam just read a moment ago from God's words in Mark 10, verses 43 and 44. The red letters, you know what that means. Jesus said, but it should not be that way among you. Whoever wants to become great among you must serve the rest of you like a servant. And whoever wants to become the first among you must serve all of you like a slave, a bondservant. See, so in our passage today, Jesus addresses his disciples after James and John had asked for those places of honor in the kingdom, still thinking that Jesus is going to take over Rome, and so that Jesus would be on this throne and James and John on each side, positions of authority and power. But then the other disciples heard about this. Didn't go well with them, didn't settle well with them. Little indigestion here. But Jesus uses this moment to teach a crucial and critical lesson about true greatness in God's kingdom. He contrasts the world's way of seeking power and authority where our leaders lord it over us. And he contrasts it with the way that his followers, you and I, are supposed to live and how we're supposed to set the example. You see, God's pattern in Scripture is that a person must first be a servant before God promotes him or her to be some other leader or ruler. We see this, it's true with Joseph and Moses and Joshua and David and even our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2, Paul writes that, but he, Jesus, gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. Nothing. Paul went on to say, but he was born as a man and became like a, here it is, a servant. God raised him to the highest place, end quote. But you see, unless we know how to obey orders, we do not have the right to give orders. Before a person can exercise authority, he or she must know what it means to be under authority. And if Jesus Christ followed this pattern in accomplishing the great work of redemption, then surely there's no other pattern for us to follow, is it? So let's begin to unpack this message this morning. Three-point sermon is typical. As we like to say in my line of work, 3 points and a praise and a prayer, and we're out the door. But point number one this morning, point number one is greatness in God's kingdom looks different. It looks different in God's kingdom than it does in the world. Look at verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, they lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Verse 43, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. The world's definition of greatness is often tied to status, control, power. We're taught to climb the ladder of success, even if it means stepping on the fingers of those below you as you climb it up. We're taught to seek titles and positions of influence. But Jesus challenges this worldly view head on. He tells his disciples, yet it shall not be among you, but you're to serve others. This is different. This is a different concept for the non-Christian. You see, for non-Christians, the idea that true greatness comes from serving others, well, it just doesn't make sense to them. Many people naturally seek recognition and authority or influence, but Jesus teaches the complete opposite of that. For those non-Christians, the concept of Jesus giving his life as a ransom, it means that he paid the price. But this involves understanding the biblical teaching. They don't understand that he would give his life. What do you mean he gave his life? He gave his life for you? Why? But you see, non-Christians, they don't understand that. They don't understand that Jesus calls his followers to put others first. He tells you and I, put others first. Even to the point of being a slave to all. This level of humility and self-sacrifice, it's difficult to accept without understanding the love and grace of God. You see, in God's kingdom, greatness is not found in being served, but in serving. It's not about how high we can climb, but how low we're willing to kneel. How low are you willing to kneel to lift someone else up? But like a ladder, the world tells us to climb up. Jesus tells us to climb down. Climb down and stoop in love. The late J.C. Ryle once wrote, true greatness consists not in receiving, but in giving. Not in the selfish absorption of good things, but in imparting good to others. He said, not in being served, but in serving. Not in sitting still but being ministered to, but in going about and ministering to others. Pouring that coffee, as that lady was doing. You see, if we want true greatness in the kingdom of God, we must find that place in God's kingdom where we're needed. And that's the point of this message today. And that's the point within our vision statement. Find that place where you're needed, where you can plug into in your church. Where you're needed and can be most useful. And there be a minister, a servant. Did you know that the word translated minister is the same word that's commonly translated as deacon? Yeah, in the Greek, and I will suffer you not in a Greek lesson today because I don't speak Greek. But in the Greek language, the word minister and deacon, and in many cases, they mean the same thing. Servant. Servant. It refers to a person who does lowly, humble labor. Cleaning, serving tables, washing dishes. It is the least recognized, but often the most needed, and certainly the most basic services. If we really want to be truly admirable people in the church, in the kingdom of God, we must make ourselves the servant of all, a slave to the people of God. Those who are truly great and admirable in the family of God are those people who devote themselves as willing slaves and humble, self-denying, self-abasing, self-sacrificing service to God's elect, you and I. They willingly serve the Lord's people for Jesus' sake. They are people who have learned that it really is more blessed to give than receive. Truly great people are those who enrich the lives of others. They are the very few men and women of whom it can be truly said the world is a better place because of them than it would be otherwise. Wouldn't that be a great epitaph if somebody put that on your tombstone? The world is a better place because, and your name is right there, because your name lived in this world. Wouldn't that be a great thing when they stop and they talk about, you know, old Danny, he was a good old soul. I think the world's a little bit better because he lived. Wouldn't that be great? But perhaps you think, Pastor, that's just too much to expect from anyone. Although they are the very few men and women of whom it can be truly said. They are the ones who can do that. I can't do that. You're asking me to do more than I'm capable of. You're asking me to stoop low. Well, you might be right. You might be right and I might be wrong. I might be asking you too much. But I'll ask you this question. If you feel that way, you feel that I'm asking you too much to serve others, then I would ask you just exactly to tell me, what do you think of Jesus? Tell me what your opinion of him is. Are you chasing recognition, or are you looking for ways to serve behind the scene? Are you more focused on being honored or being helpful? This week, I challenge you, church, this week, to ask yourself, where can I choose service over status? At some point in your week this week, where can you choose service over status? Challenge yourself to do that. Point number two this morning. True leadership means becoming a servant. Verse 44. And whoever of you deserves to be first shall be slave of all. You want to be great, church? You want to be great? Do you want to do something great for God? Do you want to please and honor the Lord Jesus with your life? Then become a servant. This is the type of person who will have the mind of Christ, esteeming others better than themselves, not giving attention to their own interest, but to the interest of others. Jesus uses some strong language stating that whoever, somebody say whoever. Thank you. Whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. This isn't just a suggestion, by the way. This is a profound redefinition of leadership. It's not about commanding others or about caring for them. Jesus did not just teach this principle. He lived it. He lived it out as the ultimate example of a servant in everything that he said and did. You remember that whole foot washing thing, right? You remember that episode? where he tells them, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Lowliest, nastiest job in the world was to wash somebody's stinking feet. You've heard me talk about that. If they had any money, they had some sandals, but trust me, that was not that good. It wasn't like Birkenstock or Birkenstock, whatever those things are. Most people walked around barefoot in mud and other animal stuff. And so when you went into somebody's house, if they had enough money, they had a servant who would come and wash your feet for you when you came in. If they didn't have enough money to have a servant do that, they would at least have a basin with some water and a towel so you could rinse your own feet off. Lowliest job in the world. And Jesus did it. And I love reminding ourselves and myself that he even did, he washed Judas's feet. And not only did he wash Judas's feet, he washed Peter's. What was wrong with Peter? Peter denies him right after this episode, you remember? The greatest expression of Jesus' servanthood was his death on the cross, though. Listen, he describes as giving his life as a ransom for you, for me. This teaching transforms the nature of leadership and the calling of every believer. True leadership is not about wielding power over others. Dictators do that. It's about selflessly caring for them, just as Jesus did. The calling of every believer is to be a servant regardless of your role or position. I don't care if you're the highest person in your company. Doesn't matter. Philippians 2:3 reminds us that we are to act in humility, esteeming others better than you esteem yourself, thinking more of other people than you think of yourself. Jesus shows us what that looks like. Going back to that foot washing thing, Jesus was the leader, rabbi, teacher. Don't you think he could have looked at anyone in that group and said, you, get up, come here. I want you to get a towel. I want you to go around and wash everybody's feet. He didn't delegate that. He didn't delegate that to somebody else. He didn't make that somebody else's job. He took the job. Oh, we're quick to notice a need for something. You know, the trash needs to go out. Hey, can you go grab that bag of trash and take it out to the building there? See a need, fill it. That's what Jesus was talking about. I said, serving is not just a task for the less important. It's the calling of every believer. Galatians 5:13, for you, brother, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but use it for love to serve one another. Where in your home, your church, or your community can you serve someone today? Not someday. Today. Don't wait for some special occasion. Look for the opportunities to serve with no strings attached. Point number three, and we'll begin to turn for home. Jesus is the ultimate example of a servant. Jesus is the ultimate example of a servant. Look at verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus, the very Son of God, had every right to be served. Yet he came to serve and to give his life. His entire life was a master class in humility, from healing the sick to washing the feet of his disciples. The ultimate act of service was the cross itself, where he willingly gave his life for our salvation. The greatest and best person who ever lived and walked on this earth was a humble servant. He got down low so that he might lift others up. The supreme example is Jesus, and his only dedication was to a life of unselfish ministry. The Son of Man did not come to be great as men count greatness. Instead, he sought not to be served, but to serve. In God's kingdom, greatness is measured by the extent that we are willing to serve another and do it humbly. Oh, you can make a teenager do something. Are they doing? If you tell them they have to go do something or else, they'll go do it, won't they? Well, most of the time anyway. Me and Bill, we were good kids. Him, yeah, maybe, not me. But you can make somebody do something if you threaten them. You can force somebody to do something grudgingly. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about serving from the heart because you want to. You humbly want to do it. You see, considering what Jesus did, it's absurd for you and I to take offense or feel demeaned when performing down-to-earth, unassuming, and even unrewarding tasks. Excuse me. Jesus left behind a glorious and exalted position in heaven. Okay? Heaven. Let's stop there for just a second. Try and draw that vision in your head. Greatness. Perfect. Everything's wonderful. It's heaven, God. He left there to come and wash the feet of people. But yet he did it obediently, obeying his Father. Christ, the good shepherd, laid down his life for us. And by this, Scripture tells us in 1 John 3:16, he said, by this we know love because he laid down his life for us. And he says, then we ought to lay down our lives for others. Listen, the basis for greatness in God's kingdom does not rest on status or power, but in being a humble Christian-like character. Warren Wiersbe, the late Warren Wiersbe, he said, we must identify with Jesus Christ in his service and suffering, for even he could not reach the throne except by the way of the cross. Think about that for a moment. Jesus is our suffering servant king. If our supreme representative, the Son of Man, did not come to be served but to serve, then so we ought to serve others. Amen? Amen? Thank you. No matter who we are in God's kingdom, whether the most distinguished leader or the meekest helper, we must strive to be like Christ, demonstrating the same kind of humble and sacrificial servanthood. Every time we choose to serve, we are a reflection of the heart of Jesus. You don't have to be perfect to serve, by the way. Thank God for that. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing. Small acts of service, holding a door for somebody, visiting someone who is lonely, mentoring a younger person. These things carry eternal value because they reflect the heart of our Savior. This passage points directly to the heart of the gospel. That Jesus came to serve and give his life for us. Salvation is not earned by our greatness or our good works, but it is a gift received by faith in Jesus, who paid the price for our sins. Serving God and others inside and outside of the church, it helps us to discover and to develop and utilize our God-given gifts for ministry. Pleasant Hill Baptist Church mission statement. God gives every Christian a ministry, a part of his work to do in the church and in the world, end quote. This was not for power, but for humility. Not for praise, but out of love. Not for a reward, but because he first served us. The great violinist Niccolo Paganini left his marvelous violin. This thing was supposed to, it was one of a kind, exquisite violin. He left it to the city of Genoa, Italy. It was the city of his birth. But he left it to them under one condition, that the instrument never be played again. It was an unfortunate condition. You see, for it, this violin was made from a very peculiar type of wood that as long as it was used and handled, it showed very little wear. But as soon as it lay dormant, it begins to decay. This exquisite, mellow-toned violin has become nothing more than a worm-eaten instrument in a beautiful case. The valueless, except as a relic, has no value now. The decomposing instrument is a reminder that a life withdrawn from all service to others loses its meaning. That instrument has no use at all now. It's been pulled out of service. When you and I pull ourselves out of servicing, we have no use. Will you follow Jesus' example? Not just in words, but in actions. Ask yourself this week. You know I love to leave you with a question. Ask yourself this week, who can I serve? Who can I serve out of love? Who can I serve out of love with no expectations of reward? Remember, we serve because he first served us. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, we deserve nothing. We certainly don't deserve being loved by you. We certainly don't deserve what your Son did for us. We are a wicked, wretched lot. Self-serving, self-seeking, self-identifying, self, me. Forgetting that it's not about us. It's about how we can serve. How can we serve others? Just as your Son set that example. Give us that courage this week, this day, to go forth and serve others. And show that example so that when others see us, they'll go, these people are Christians. They will know us by our love. And Father, if there be one here today that doesn't know that love, who doesn't know what that means to be loved by Jesus Christ, if they've never experienced that, oh dear, Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray you come upon them in a most powerful way, stirring their souls to unrest and causing them to cry out to Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We long only to serve you. Use us as you choose. That's what we were created for. We pray this and ask this morning in the most powerful and holy name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen.